We certainly need the Lord to make us new every day. Amen. I'm thankful that His mercies are new every day. Tonight, my prayer for you and for this message, my goal of the message tonight is I want you to be filled with jealousy. I want you to be so jealous that it consumes you. A jealousy strong enough to dictate your priorities. A jealousy that's so intense that people would think that you are absolutely crazy. Now, if I haven't been preaching on the jealousy of God, you'd be thinking, what are you talking about, Pastor? I mean, that sounds crazy. But we're talking about a godly, holy jealousy. That's what we're talking about tonight. Not a jealousy that springs forth from envy or insecurity, but a jealousy that seeks to protect a relationship. I want to put that up there. I want you to write these things down if you're taking notes. A godly jealousy seeks to protect a relationship. A godly jealousy seeks to maintain exclusive devotion. A godly jealousy, it seeks to proclaim God's glory. Those are some things that we have talked about, and that's the kind of jealousy that I want you to have. That's the kind of jealousy I want to have. This godly jealousy that seeks to protect my relationship with Jesus. A jealousy that seeks to maintain exclusive devotion to Jesus. That wants to proclaim His glory. A jealousy that consumes me. I want to illustrate, because we talked about how that it's very easy when we think of jealousy to get confused with the sinful kind of jealousy. And so I think it's good to give an illustration to kind of help people understand the difference between a sinful jealousy and a godly jealousy. You know, a sinful jealousy would be like this. It'd be like a husband that was unjustifiably suspicious of his wife, always seems to be mad, controlling, unpredictable. He's insecure, irrational, always paranoid about what his wife is doing. You know, I saw something the other day that a husband was calling his wife and said, "Honey, where are you?" And she said, "Oh, I'd been out shopping and I just got home." He said, "Well, did the kids have a good day at school?" And she was like, "Oh." She forgot to pick them up from school. But you know, this is what we think of when we think of jealousy. Actions driven by envy. You know, this kind of jealousy will destroy a relationship. It would destroy marriage. It's one that the Bible would condemn, that kind of jealousy. It's not what we're talking about when we talk about God. He says that my name is jealous. I'm a jealous God. He is jealous. And you know, these three things we have up here, these apply to God. He is jealous to protect the relationship He has with His children. Think about that. We should be thankful that God is a jealous God. He is jealous to maintain exclusive devotion from His children, because He knows that idols do not serve us well. He knows that it's for our well-being. He has a jealousy to proclaim His own glory, to see His glory lifted up, His name, His reputation. We talked about those things. But I want you to see, instead of look at the godly side of jealousy in a husband, because it can be something that we can have. We can have this the same kind of godly jealousy that's true of God. And I want you to think about a husband who loves and cares for his wife. That's a godly jealousy. He loves his wife so much that he's committed to her and her well-being. That's a godly jealousy. He protects her. He nourishes the relationship. That's a godly jealousy. A godly jealousy in a husband. He tenderly cares for his wife in such a way to ensure that nothing gets between their devotion to one another. He remains faithful to his wife. And should she flirt with adultery, he will work zealously to win her back or draw her back to himself. There's no way that we would condemn such a husband. I mean, that's a good husband. That's a godly husband. Someone who is seeking the honor and welfare of his wife. That's the kind of jealousy we're talking about tonight. I want you to notice that there's a difference between being jealous of someone and being jealous for someone. That's what I just described in this illustration between a husband that has a sinful jealousy and a husband that has a godly jealousy. There's a big difference. And I'm thankful that God, he's not jealous of us, but he's jealous for us. He loves us. He wants to protect our relationship with him. Jealousy for God is love. When we're jealous for God, now it's key. I didn't say jealous of God, jealous for God. We should be jealous for God's glory. We talked about that last week. And I believe that jealousy for God, it is love. It's us showing love. We talked about how that jealousy, it concerns God's honor. It concerns his protecting his name and his reputation, but it also it speaks of his love. And one preacher, he said that the jealousy of God is his perfect love. And I thought that was a good description of God's jealousy. It's his perfect love. But our jealousy for God, it's love. And our love for God is to love what God loves. If you really love God, then you'll love what God loves. In our last message, we were in Psalm 96, and I want you to go ahead and turn there again tonight. The message is going to be abbreviated tonight because we're going to take some time for prayer in the service, at the end of the service. But in our last message, we looked at Psalm 96, and we also looked at Exodus 7:5, and we looked at Exodus 9:16. We looked at a few passages in the New Testament to show that the New Testament also supports this idea. And that idea is this, that God is jealous for his honor and glory, that it be known in all the earth. We established this truth last week. And I just want to remind you of that as before we get into the truth we're going to look at tonight. God is jealous for his honor, for his glory, that it be known in all the earth. Remember the example in Exodus. God said that the reason why he was sending all those plagues and doing all those mighty wonders in Egypt is that his name might be known in not just in Egypt, but in all the earth. And we talked about how that God was known by his mighty wonders that he did in Egypt, by his mighty works, by his exclusive love and devotion to his covenant people, Israel. We've seen that jealousy that God had. But let's read verses 1 through 4. We're not going to read the whole psalm tonight. We're just going to read those first four verses. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, He is to be feared above all gods. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for this time that we have to look at your jealousy and look at what our jealousy should look like. Our jealousy for your glory to be known among all nations. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would speak through me tonight, Lord, and speak to the hearts of your people and give us that godly jealousy. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in these first three verses, we see two things. We see two things that we're commanded to do. Two things. I don't know if you notice them, but we're to worship and we're to witness. I believe that from this passage, that this is the truth we're going to look at tonight. To be jealous for God's glory is to respond in joyful worship and witness. That's why this passage teaches us. To be jealous for God's glory is to respond in joyful worship and witness. I want you to notice that three times he tells us in verse 1 and 2 to sing. It's repeated three times for emphasis. To sing. Now, who are we to sing to? Notice it says, unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. All three times, sing unto the Lord. This is talking about worship here. This is joyful worship. We are commanded. This is actually the word sing here. It is a command. It's an imperative verb. It's saying that for us to worship and sing unto the Lord. And it's done three times for emphasis. And so when we're jealous of God's glory, we're going to respond in joyful worship. We're going to sing unto the Lord with all of our hearts. But I want you to notice the second thing, what we are to show forth or declare. He goes on and he says, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. We're not just to sing to the Lord, but we're to show forth. We're to declare, and there are three things he mentions. We're to declare his salvation. We're to show forth his salvation. Basically, these words show forth and declare is a similar ideas. To show forth, it has the idea of proclaiming his salvation. Declare, the same idea, declaring his glory. So we're to show forth to declare his salvation. We're to show forth, declare his glory. The third thing is his wonders among all people. We're to show forth, declare his wonders. To who? It says, among the heathen. And this word heathen, by the way, I want you to understand the Hebrew word, it means nations. And in this context, this was a psalm, a Jewish psalm book. I mean, the book of Psalms is a Jewish psalm book written, many of them by David. And Israel used these psalms to worship in their time of worship in the temple and in synagogues. And so when they're talking about the heathen, the nation, they're talking about all the other nations outside of Israel. Outside, because Israel was, in the Old Testament, God's covenant people. It was his people, his nation. And so what it's talking about is all those nations that don't know God. So we're to show forward, we're to declare his salvation to all nations. Among the nations, you could say. His wonders among all people, meaning all peoples of the earth, all languages, all ethnic groups, all nations that are out there, were to declare his wonders. So you can see these two things. You can see the worship and the witness. When we're jealous for the glory of God, when we're jealous for his reputation, we are going to worship in joyful worship. We are going to witness of his glory You know, I can praise my wife in two different ways. By the way, I recognize she's over here. She's moved, so I wouldn't find her and see her. But I can say to my wife, "You are awesome." That's praising her. But then I could tell you, "Hey, my wife is awesome." That's praising her, isn't it? You know, that's the idea here. Just like, you know, I can tell God, "I praise you. I worship you. I thank you and praise you that you're a jealous God, that you're jealous for me. I thank you that you love me with that kind of love, that you want to protect our relationship, that you are doing that for my well. You're jealous for me, for my well-being, because you love me." So I can tell that to the Lord. I can sing that to the Lord. But I could also tell you, my God is great. My God is a jealous God. I can tell the nation. I can tell the lost. I can tell them, "Hey, my God, he is the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He laid down his life for me. He has done so much for me. He saved my soul." You see what I'm getting at? So the worship and the witness, how they work together. To be jealous for God's glory is to respond in joyful worship and witness. And we see that in these first three verses. And he tells us the reason in verse 4. Because notice that first word, "for." This is telling us why we should do these things. "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." Of course, he goes on, verse 5 again, "For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." You know, it's interesting, the Hebrew, you know, the Hebrew word for God is Elohim. Elohim. Whereas when it uses the Hebrew word it uses for idols is Elilim. Elilim means no power, no life. It means nothing. So what he's saying in Hebrew, it's saying that all the gods of the nations are nothing. That's what the Hebrew word means. They're nothing. They have no power. They have no life. That's why we should worship God and Him alone. That's why we should tell of His glory. We as God's people that have been saved by His power, by His grace, and been redeemed by His blood, we should be jealous for Him, that He might be known in all nations. Because He tells us, "Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people." I want you to imagine tonight what our church would look like if we were consumed with that jealousy that I talked about in the beginning of the message. If we were just absolutely consumed with a godly jealousy that is concerned chiefly with God's glory. Think of how it would change your life. You know, when you see God's name being used in vain, how it would cause you to be grieved. When you see lost people just being destroyed by Satan and by false idols, how, you know, you would desire them to know your God because of what He's done for you, how much He loves you. Just think of the impact that God's people could have on the nations if they were filled with this godly jealousy. Think of the impact if all of God's people across the world had this kind of jealousy for God's glory. What a difference it would make. You know, this is something that's been lost in our day and time. This jealousy for God's name, for His glory. You know, why do we really want God to work in our life? I'm asking you an honest question. Why do you really want God to work in your life tonight? Is it because we're just wanting to be blessed and enjoy this life? I mean, that seems to be, for the most part, most of Christianity. We want God because we want what He can do for us. We want His blessing. We want to have a comfortable life. You know, I think of churches today that there's a lot of churches that's just concerned about their own glory, their own reputation, their own name. And so they compromise truth to grow, to reach people, to get people to come in so they can get numbers, so they can build their reputation, build their name, build their glory. You see how it can affect a church, that if we're not focused and centered on God's glory, if we're not jealous for God's reputation, how that we can compromise? Because when something false is being taught, if you're not jealous for God's glory, it's going to keep being taught. Error is going to spread. Sin is going to be overlooked. But when there's a jealousy for God's glory, His name, His reputation, there's going to be a holiness about God's people. There's going to be a zeal about God's people for His name, His reputation, it's not about us. It's not about our glory. It's about Him. That we preserve and protect His name, His reputation, His truth. A church that is concerned with God's glory will nourish their relationship with God. They will protect His honor and glory. They will be faithful to Him. I read a quote by a man that's now with the Lord. It was a man that was a godly man. Spoke a lot about revival. This is what he said. Revival is us being jealous for God's glory. when I started this series, I mentioned how that you probably never heard a message about jealousy. The jealousy of God, that is. You probably never heard about how that we should have a godly, holy jealousy. But here's a man of God that said revival is being jealous for God's glory. I believe that that's a true statement, because if you're truly revived, then you're going to have a passion for God. You're going to have a love for Him. You're going to want to protect His honor and glory. You're going to want to address sin in your own life. You're going to want to address the idols in your heart. You're going to want other people to know your God. I can't think of something that we should have more in our life than this. A godly jealousy. Probably the shortest Wednesday night message that I'm preaching, but I'm done, because I want to put up here our prayer focus. Some of you may have received the text, maybe you didn't, but based on this truth that we looked at tonight, this truth that to be jealous for God's glory is to respond in joyful worship and witness. And so tonight is our prayer focus. I want you to pray that our church family, that our missionaries, that you personally will be so jealous for God's glory that it will consume us, change our priorities, cause us to be passionate about sharing Jesus. That's what I want our prayer to be focused around tonight. We have a missions conference coming up a week from this Friday. You know, this is something that's very dear to the heart of God, is His glory being proclaimed to the nations. That's what the missions revival is all about, is to revive us in this area of obedience to God and as it pertains to His mission. And so we want to focus our prayer tonight on this, being jealous for God's glory to be known among all nations, praying for our church, praying for our missionaries, praying for us individually to have this kind of godly jealousy in our life. And I'm going to put this back up there that we had, just to remind you, these are the three things that godly jealousy seeks. This is what we're praying for. We're praying that our church would seek to protect the relationship. We're talking about this relationship we have with Jesus. You know, idols, sin, those things come between us and the Savior. They hinder that fellowship with Him. We want to protect the relationship. Maintain exclusive devotion. Because, you know, we as God's people, we're guilty of being distracted by the devil, giving our devotion to other things that should be given to God. Given to God and His work. And to proclaim God's glory. I mean, when is the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? When is the last time you've told someone about how great your God is? Maybe shared about what God has done for you personally. If it's been a long time, then this is a prayer need, isn't it? It's a prayer need that we need to be praying about this, because, listen, folks, we're not going to grow if we don't witness. We're not going to see people come to Christ if we don't tell them about Christ. Amen. We are the body of Christ. Each one of us have a part in the mission of Jesus to see His glory spread to all nations. We all have a part in that. Find out what your part is and do it. Be jealous for God. Have a perfect love for God. Well, I'm going to close in prayer to give our guys time to start our live stream. And then I'm going to just ask you, if you want to pray as a family, if you want to pray as an individual, if you want to pray in a group, however you would like to pray. But it is 7:40, so we have about 20 minutes, really. So don't rush. Please don't rush. Don't rush in your prayer time. Spend some time with the Lord tonight, praying for these things we mentioned. And you don't have to limit it just right here. I'm just saying this to be our focus. God may lead you to pray for some of the other needs that God's put on your heart. I just want you to pray, and pray for our conference, our missions revival that's coming up, for our speaker, Brother Prater. We have two missionary families that are coming, the Warden family and also the Tunnel family. And so we want to pray for God to do a great work during our missions revival, bring about a revival of jealousy for God and His glory to be known among all nations. Father, we thank You so much for Your jealousy of us. Lord, I don't think I've ever really thanked You for that until just recently, that I've studied this truth and come to understand what it means and how it speaks of Your perfect love for me. How that you're protective of our relationship. How that you seek to nourish that relationship. And Lord, how that you want me to recognize it and recognize how great you are, how much you love me, and you're worthy of my love. And how that as I begin to understand those things, I can become jealous with a godly jealousy for you and for your glory to be known among all people. God, I know I need that. Sometimes it's easy to get distracted, easy to get discouraged, easy just to not share Jesus with others. But Lord, there's so many people that are hopeless, so many people that you bring in our path, Lord, for a reason, so that we can share your glory, declare your glory with them. God, help us be consumed with this. Lord, use us as your children to proclaim your name, your glory, to declare it. God, we thank you for these truths. Pray that you'd lead us tonight in this prayer meeting, that as we pray for our church, for our missionaries, for our missions conference that's coming up here in a week and a half, and for our speakers and for our missionaries that are going to be here, Lord, that you would do a great work of revival in our hearts. Lord, you want to do things that really are impossible. You want us to trust you for the impossible. Lord, you've done some impossible things because you are jealous for your glory. You want to be glorified. You want to receive the glory, not for man or flesh to receive the glory. So God, help us not to be of little faith. Lord, help us to have great faith in you. You're able to do the impossible, that you can really do something that is just mind-blowing to show your glory. And that's what we're asking. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.